the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Our associate producer, Zach Johnson, on the other side of the glass today. I'm sorry, but we have nothing to give you people for sticking with us today. Nothing along the lines of any gift cards or giveaways like that. But I know the guys on the gym class this week, Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, have Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets, good for some upcoming games. And ironically, that's what we're going to be playing for tomorrow during the 6 o'clock showdown. You didn't think we were going to get rid of that, did you? People love the 6 o'clock showdown. Colonels at Kane County earlier today, a winner on the road. Kane County had not lost a game yet this season. Colonels hand them their first setback. They'll wrap up that series tomorrow. And then if you're a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers, I'd get out to Veterans Memorial Stadium Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, especially Friday, though, because that's Mug Club night with our friends from Z102.9. That Wisconsin roster is stacked with prospects this year, so lots of hopefully future Brewers coming through Cedar Rapids in the next couple days. Milwaukee needs the help sooner rather than later. They're not the only team in baseball that you could say that about right now. And we are going to take a break from talking about Iowa's non-conference football schedule. You can only talk about Middle Tennessee State so much until you're blue in the face. So we'll talk a little baseball here because we had Mark Gonzalez from the Chicago Tribune on earlier to talk about the Cubs. They won last night, walk-off fashion, with Anthony Rizzo getting the big hit in the ninth inning. The Cardinals did not win yesterday. And that was an ugly game for a number of reasons. But the bullpen has been a little bit of an issue in the early going for Mike Matheny and the Cardinals. They are one of the teams that show up on today's Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMradio.com. Which MLB team's slow start has you the most concerned? St. Louis, Texas, Seattle, Toronto, or San Francisco? Vote now. KGYMradio.com. A big thanks to Emil's Hideaway there on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. 75% of the folks voting in the poll question right now say it's the Cardinals. And I ask you, Alex Kuhn, our resident Cardinals fan, at least one that has an open mic in front of him, because there are some other St. Louis fans in the building. Some of them still speak to me, by the way. Are you concerned about the way the Cardinals have started the season? And you at home, if you're a Cardinals fan, and if you're out there, some of the other Cardinals fans that are still listening, even though the program is now hosted by a diehard Cubs fan, 366-1600.
The way you asked the question, am I concerned?
You shouldn't be because it's the first week of the season. But
yes, I am.
You also should be because I think there are reasons to worry a little bit.
Panic button? No, it's not time for that. It's the first week of the season. There's a lot of season to go.
But you don't like the fact that they've moved some guys around to try to accommodate the lineup that Mike Matheny wants to put out there, and the results so far kind of speak for themselves.
I think that's one issue. The other issue is they wanted to, coming into the season, there's a lot of question marks for this team, and pretty much every one of them has gotten off to a really, really poor start. You look at the bullpen, struggled last year. They bring in a guy like Brett Cecil. They pay him $30 million over 4 years. Not only does he have a 15 ERA early on in the season, he has not, here, think about this. In, let's see, five appearances, he has not kept an inherited runner from scoring yet. That is an alarming stat. The bullpen has been, other than Matt Bowman and then Sungwon Oh, who hasn't, he's only appeared in one game, and even Sungwon Oh blew a save in game one. There's really nobody pitching well out of that bullpen right now.
Matt Bowman, who a couple years ago was a Rule 5 pick.
He was a Rule 5 pick. He has had 13 and two-thirds scoreless innings in a row dating back to last year. He has been one of the lone bright spots in that bullpen.
You're trying to tell me that Miguel Sokolovich is not getting it done?
No, Sam Tuivalala.
Tuivalala, who was drafted as a shortstop and converted.
You know what? I don't care if those guys are the ones getting it done. Someone has to get it done, whether it's Trevor Rosenthal or Sokolovich.
I thought Rosenthal was going to start.
He's going to, I think he's just going to be a one-inning guy.
Okay, so they moved him back to the bullpen?
Because Trevor Rosenthal?
Yeah, I thought when Reyes hurt his arm, Alex Reyes, their top pitching prospect, hurt his arm in spring training, they were stretching Rosenthal out to be a starter, which is what he wants to do.
But
he's on the DL right now, so I guess it's a moot point.
He will return with a one-inning role officially that's coming out.
Okay,
of
so they've made the determination. They're scrapping the Rosenthal as a starter. 6598 on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line says, am I concerned? Yes. Am I worried? Not at all. There's a lot of games left to be played.
And then you bring up the defense, which was, and a lot of people kind of scoff at the Cardinal way, but the Cardinal way, the way that this franchise was so successful for so many years, and I'm sorry for even bringing that up, but the reason they were so successful for so many years is because they played good defense. And the issue that I have here is they want to keep Colton Wong in the lineup at second base. And for your fantasy team, I think that's an important thing. And for moving forward, you want to get that guy going. The question is, at what cost? We saw in game one that Matt Carpenter is not a natural first baseman, made a critical error that almost cost him the game. And then there's Matt Adams in left field. I have no words to describe how that experiment is going, other than yikes. I've seen Manny Ramirez play left field. I'll bring up Kyle Schwarber. Those guys make... Matt Schwarber, Adams makes those guys look like Willie Mays.
A lot of people were incredulous about Schwarber playing the outfield, but he, despite his size, is an extremely athletic guy.
He takes decent routes.
Adams has lost a lot of weight, but he's never really struck me as a guy you would describe as he's athletic.
No, and it shows. And through seven games, there've already been enough. There's already been enough footage to make your own blooper reel for Matt Adams in left field. So it just doesn't seem necessary to me. The question that I have: last year, there'd be stretches where this team was playing good baseball. There'd be three or four. They could never put together a 5 or 6 game winning streak. They could never consistently match good pitching with their surge in power. And the bullpen was inconsistent. My question this year is, everything going to come together at any point during the season? Is there enough consistency offensively to come together with good starting pitching at times? And will the bullpen turn a corner? Like you said, so much baseball to go. Not time to hit the panic button at all, but it certainly has been as discouraging of a start as you could have to a season.
I'm looking at the headlines on the Cardinals website right now. Under latest news, this is a sampling. Wainwright looks to trust his stuff going forward. Rosenthal comes off DL, bolsters Cards' pen. Cards on wrong end of lopsided loss in D.C. Cards looking for answers in bullpen. Prospect Weaver placed on disabled list. Martinez and Bats struggle as Cards falls to the Reds. Those aren't the type of headlines that you want to see for a team that's expected to finish second in the National League Central behind the Cubs this season.
They're not. And the second series of the year was against the Cincinnati Reds. And I thought that for the most part, they did lose 2 of 3 to the Cubs, but there were some real flashes of, okay, well, there wasn't a lot of concern coming out of that series for the Cardinals and for the fan base. But that series against the Reds where Scott Feldman shut them down, they got shut out twice by the Cincinnati Reds, and then last night...
Was that Amir Garrett and Feldman?
Amir Garrett and Feldman shut them out on Friday and then on Sunday. And then last night, you score 6 runs and you lose by 8. There was a point in that game where they had a 5-3 lead, and Brett Cecil and Jonathan Broxton and Kevin Segrist, 3 guys that they are relying heavily on, they're going to have to rely heavily on, just continued to struggle.
Cecil's not going to have a 15 ERA all season long, but his career ERA was north of 4 when they gave him the deal. Now, lefty relief pitching is a hot commodity in Major League Baseball, and there's something that John Mozeliak in the front office thought when they locked up Cecil. Now, we've seen them do this, and Mark Jepchinski came in. They have a tendency to fall in love with these left-handed relievers, sometimes a little bit too much. But he had a fun name. Jepchinski was Scrabble.
Scrabble.
Yeah. Cecil doesn't have a fun nickname. He's going to be on a pretty short leash with Cardinals fans. I've got to admit, I don't necessarily think that I would hit the panic button if I were a St. Louis fan, but the Adams thing in the outfield is not getting it done. And you keep Colton Wong in the lineup. Peralta's taken over at third. It kind of makes it hard to get Jed Jerko on playing time. He led the team in home runs last year, and he's essentially stuck coming off the bench. The bright spot, Aledmys Diaz has picked up right where he left off last year. You've got Yadier Molina, who's back behind the plate doing Yadier Molina things. Didn't you tell me earlier today they're selling the ball that stuck to the chest protector in the Cubs game?
They are. That is correct. And if you don't believe me, look on Twitter right now.
MLB will, because this isn't the Cardinals. This is Major League Baseball.
No, this is the Cardinals.
Well,
it's all, okay, but yeah, I got
through
you.
Through MLB, they will sell anything to make a buck. Like the Cubs jerseys last night, and we've talked about the gold jerseys before on the air, and they look nice, okay? They're pretty cool. I like the fact that they've got the World Series patch on the sleeve, and on the front, you couldn't really tell last night if you were watching on ESPN, but the Cubs logo is trimmed in gold. And so my wife says to me, I've got a birthday coming up next week. What do you want for your birthday? You want one of those jerseys? And I go, I would never spend that much money on a jersey. B, no, I don't want one of those. Because everybody's got one now. Everybody's got a Chris Bryant or an Anthony Rizzo. Get me a Jason Hayward just because I want to be. I'm like Greg Wyshynski. Picking the Preds to beat the Blackhawks. Give me Hayward, who, by the way, Gonzalez was right. Hayward looked bad again last night. And I think this is a roller coaster that the Cubs are just going to ride this year with him. But there are going to be games where he looks like the guy who hit a home run off Carlos Zambrano in his big league debut. And then there's going to be games where people are asking, how many more years are left on that deal? And I know we have a friend in Iowa City who likes to bring up that deal. A, it's not a good deal, and it's not going to prove to be a good deal. B, the Cubs won a World Series last year with him as a positive wins above replacement player because of his defense. And last night they raised the pennant, and tomorrow they're going to be handing out World Series rings. Right now, I don't care what Jason Hayward makes. I don't care how much money you throw at him. The Cubs won the World Series last year.
Understand that, but my question is, with Almora and John Jay, who is the odd man left out for that team? Or are they just going to continue to platoon? Because I understand why they want to put Jason Hayward in center field, Ben Zobrist can play right field, and Baez at second base, but that's a lot of playing time and a lot of production that's going to be sitting on the bench.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be John Jay, because Albert Almora, every time he's on the field, it seems he's doing something positive. And maybe it's because it's a limited sample size, but this is a guy who was a first-round draft pick who made his way very slowly through the system. He wasn't rushed. He was, despite having a very polished resume, I think he had more career appearances for the Team USA program than anybody in that program's history. He was on the 15 and under team, the 16 and under, 18 and under, Team USA veteran. They took it slow with him. He was a guy that a lot of people said, talent evaluators, okay, maybe he's going to be a fourth outfielder. He's definitely not going to hit 20, 30 home runs at the big league level, but he's going to play good defense. He just seems to put the ball in play and make plays in the outfield. I think the Cubs signed John Jay in the offseason because they wanted to hedge their bets that Almora could take over And with Baez, I know Joe Maddon doesn't like labels. He doesn't want to call Baez the everyday second baseman. And otherwise you get comfortable as the everyday second baseman, and he still likes the idea of using him as a super utility player. But if Baez is the everyday second baseman, which he is at this point, Zobrist has to play somewhere. You know Schwarber's in left field because you're not taking his bat out of the lineup. And I would be, I'd be Hayward and Albert Almora, with John Jay being the guy who ultimately loses out, which is an aside here. What a shame that Ron Santo is no longer with us so that we could possibly hear him referring to Albert Almora Jr. as Al Mora, as he did during a very brief but highly entertaining radio interview with former reliever, six-fingered reliever, Antonio Alfonseca.
Al Fonseca?
He thought his name, he referred to him during the interview as Al Fonseca. Did you know Antonio Alfonseca had six fingers?
I did. Okay. I learned that one day, one afternoon at AT&T Ballpark. When Sammy Sosa, I was sitting out in right field, Sammy Sosa hit one into the water opposite field.
Sammy Sosa, who remains persona non grata around 1060 West Addison. Talking a little baseball here in hour number three, 319-366-1600. Cardinals fans, are you concerned about your team's start? 366-1600, a big thank you to Jerry Ask Investment Services. They're not the only team that's off to a slow start. There are a number of other ones. We brought a few of them up on the Emil's Hideaway poll question, one of them being the Seattle Mariners. They got some bad news today. Gene Segura, the former Cedar Rapids Colonel, second baseman and shortstop, is going to go on the DL with a hand injury. Seattle is one of those teams that at the beginning of the season, I think a lot of people, myself included, put a lot of stock into. They've stumbled out of the gate. The Giants aren't off to a great start, but we know why they're not off to a good start. It's their bullpen, which has been an issue for them. Texas, a team, and I wasn't high on the Rangers. When we did our preseason top 10, they were on the cusp, and I said I would take the Blue Jays and at least one other AL East team over the AL West product in Texas. I went with Houston to win the division, and I think I went with Seattle to get a wild card, which means Texas would be third. But the Cardinals are not alone here, and this is classic, classic baseball overreaction time. And ESPN has been in overdrive on this. A friend of mine and I were going back and forth on Twitter. ESPN has a tendency after the first day of the season to overreact to, is this team in trouble? Is this team for real? Is the Colorado Rockies bullpen really this good? And it's 2 days into the season. That's the beauty about baseball, is the season is such a grind that you know at some point in time the Cardinals are going to reel off like 8 of 9. They just are. That's the way the baseball season works.
That's true. They just didn't do that, though, last year, which maybe they will this year. That's, I think, why the overreaction is happening. Last year at this time, there wasn't that overreaction. There was a little bit of, especially with the way that the Cubs started last year, they got off to that unbelievably hot start, and the Cardinals were out of it by May or June. That didn't help things, but they never really reeled off that big winning streak last year. We'll see if they can this year, but I'm not pushing the panic button at this point, but I am concerned.
It's interesting that you bring up that winning streak that the Cubs had last year, because there was a while between April and May where they were virtually unbeatable. And that allowed Joe Maddon to give his regulars some rest in the middle of the season, especially the early going. And I don't think they're going to have that luxury this year. And we'll see where the Cubs are at come postseason time, if they are indeed in it again, which I firmly believe that they will be. When you look at that lineup, and let's say Hayward hits like the old Jason Hayward 25-30% of the time this year. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt. There are no holes in that lineup other than the pitcher. Travis Wood's not there anymore to say, well, even the pitcher can hit. He's having his issues down in Kansas City, but that is a very, very difficult lineup. When you replace David Ross and Miguel Montero behind the plate with Wilson Contreras as your everyday catcher, you improve offensively there. If you're going with Hayward in center as he was last night with Zobrist in right and Schwarber in left, Baez at second because that's their best defensive outfield behind John Lester, and that's what Madden likes to use, there really aren't very many holes. Which, did you watch the game at all last night?
I actually fell asleep in the seventh inning. I will not lie about that. But
that would have been right around this time. Did you catch the dribbler out in front of the plate that John Lester acted as if it were a live grenade?
I missed that.
And Wilson Contreras had to come out, I would say, 40 feet in front of home plate. The ball was way closer to the mound than it was to the plate. Contreras had to come out and make the play on it because, as we all know, John Lester has an aversion to doing anything other than pitching off a mound at 60 feet, 6 inches. And I just continue to be amazed at the fact that this Lester throwing thing has not blown up in their face. Last night, Jock Peterson of the Dodgers was getting down almost as if he were a sprinter, getting down in a three-point stance at first base to try to get into the head of John Lester, and he still wouldn't throw over there. But the deal with Lester is he's so quick to the plate, and guys' natural instincts when they're at first base are to flinch back toward the bag. He neutralizes any sort of advantage that they get.
How much of that credit goes to Wilson Contreras as well and his ability to throw behind the runner?
The Cubs last year, and I think this went underreported, had the two best defensive catchers by the numbers in David Ross and Wilson Contreras when it came to patrolling guys on the base paths. And a lot of people said, well, David Ross retires, it's no big deal. He's going to go do Dancing with the Stars, and he was John Lester's personal catcher. But you can't quantify what he meant as a teammate. And then when he did play, and he didn't just catch Lester last year, David Ross, for being a career backup, was still a very serviceable catcher, especially defensively. So I questioned coming into the season how they were going to replace him, and Miguel Montero, at least for now, is accepting his role as the number two catcher behind Contreras. But the Cubs win last night on Anthony Rizzo's walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning. They're off today, and then tomorrow it's the presentation of the World Series rings, which I believe the plan is calling for. The Cubs had done a contest where you could nominate a regular Joe fan to present a ring to one of the players. So I think this is going to be another really cool, emotional night. Very few teams could do what the Cubs did last night, and that's have the emotional pregame ceremony of raising the pennant, walking through the across the field with the commissioner's trophy, have that much emotion pregame, come out and win. And they somehow pulled it off last night, and I know it bothers a lot of people. 366-1600. Adam in Cedar Rapids wants to talk Cubs and cards. Go ahead, Adam.
First of all, guys, love the show as always. I love calling in. I love hearing the baseball talk. But let me tell you something about catching is that Eddie Perez was a personal catcher for Greg Maddux and a lot of those great Braves aces. And I see Wilson Contreras doing some of the same things that I used to see old Eddie Perez do behind the plate. He's going to get better with pitch framing, which is always David Ross's specialty and only being a leader and all that kind of jazz. But love the show as always, guys. Cards will get it right. Cubs are going to win the division. Pirates will take second place. Sorry about that, Cards. Have a good day, guys.
I don't know about the Pirates. Someone
has to come in second place.
Here's the deal. This was going to be the scorching hottest take preseason, and I don't think it counts now if I say it. But before the season started, I was leaning toward the Brewers as being the surprise team in the NL Central. I think the Pirates are taking a step back. Tyler Glasnow, their top pitching prospect, basically got booed last night by the fans because he was all over the place. He struggles with control, that's his MO. Gregory Polanco is a good player, but it just seems like it's never going to completely come together for him. the Pirates take a step back, the Cardinals take a step back, the Reds, my apologies to Cyclone Tim, who may or may not be listening to the program, the Reds are the Reds at this point. I thought maybe the Brewers, somebody had to step up and take the initiative there to finish second in that division, but until further notice, the Cardinals are still in the catbird seat, at least as far as the number two position in that division. But it's fascinating to see each team sort of has one or two glaring issues, even the Cubs, because I continue to go back to the bullpen. And Koji Uehara blew the save last night. Carl Edwards Jr. is, I think, a tremendous relief pitcher, but he's got control issues. His mechanics are not as repeatable as Chris Bosio and the Cubs would like them to be. And then you've got Hector Rondon and Pedro Strop, which sounds like a really bad law firm, Rondon and Strop. The bullpen, I think, is going to possibly be this team's undoing if it does struggle this year. 319-366-1600. By the way, we've had a couple people ask about Twitter, and we don't have a Twitter account for the show at this point. We may not have one. The APC account fell by the wayside, really my own doing. But if you want to reach out to us during the program via social media on Twitter, you can do so at Todd Brummelkamp and at Alex Kuhn 523, which, hint, hint, it's Alex's birthday.
I need to take that out of my Twitter handle, right?
Put that on the radar, and when the 23rd rolls around, I'm looking here, is that... That's not a Friday, is it? We won't be at the Coach's Corner for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. We could have another celebration. I love it when big things fall on Fridays at the Coach's Corner.
It's on a Tuesday.
Well, who's a regular? We don't even have a regular Tuesday guest, do we?
Ed Creech from MLB Trade Rumors.
If it falls properly within the realm of Ed Creech's schedule. Do we have him this week or next week, by the way?
We have him next week.
Next week. Well, today's Tuesday.
Well, today's Tuesday.
Yeah. See, these are the things that sometimes skate by when I was just the sidekick.
My birthday wasn't on a Friday, but there was still cake at the Coach's Corner.
Well, is that a reference to the fact that there was supposed to be cake last week?
No, there was cake last year, despite the fact that my birthday was not on a Friday.
Oh, okay. I thought we had John and Tiffin, who was upset that there was no cake Friday at Coach's Corner as promised, That fell on me, and I didn't get the cake ordered in time. And then when I did go to pick the cake up, it said Rob FM. I don't know. It was
tasty.
I'll
order my own cake.
I ate it. It's like when you work at a Dairy Queen or something and you get to eat your mistakes. 319-366-1600. At least that's what they tell me. We need to take a break, bring you back with a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Hawkeye baseball team in action right now at Duane Banks Field against Western Illinois. We'll tell you how they're doing, set the table for the evening to come, and finish on a strong note. Back with more after this.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before a client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at ineedmycomputerstowork.com.
Go to ineedmycomputerstowork.com to learn more.
Got some property to take care of? Let a Kubota help you out. Known worldwide as a leading seller of compact tractors and diesel utility vehicles, Kubota has the equipment to help you get your work done. With a variety of tractors and a range of horsepower options, Kubota delivers the efficiency, power, and comfort to handle light construction, landscape work, and chores on the farm. Take on your toughest jobs with a Kubota. See your local dealer today. To find your local Kubota dealer, visit iowakubotadealers.com.
Hi, Patrick Eads, owner of Geary Ford. I may not have the biggest dealership or the largest inventory, but I can promise you a fast, hassle-free experience with the friendliest people around and our best price up front.
On over 100 sale-priced used cars that come with 3 months, 3,000 miles comprehensive warranty, and payments as low as $119 a month with zero down, or up to $6,000 off MSRP on new Fusion and Escapes. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have a lower monthly payment than you have now.
Experience the way car buying should be at Geary Ford Iowa City or online at GearyFord.com.
Welcome back to the program. It is 6:35 on a Tuesday, and really quick before we get to a big board update, I want to let you know that the date has been set for our friends Schulte and Swan. They're having their final prom on the Z102.9 side. Well, prom will continue on, but you may or may not know our good friend Rick Swan, whom we share an office with, has graduated to Rob FM right across the hall from us, so this will be Rick's final prom. Tickets are available right now. The date is Saturday, April 22nd at the DoubleTree by Hilton Convention Complex in downtown Cedar Rapids. We mentioned the fact you can get the tickets right now. Where? Several locations around Cedar Rapids, including at Elevate Salon and Spa, which is where my wife goes to get her hair cut with Shelby. And that is located at Edgewood Station Southwest, also inside Lindale Mall. Tickets just $20 each, cash only. Good for hors d'oeuvres, cake, and of course, a party to remember. Alex, you and I can put that on our schedule right now. Saturday, April 22nd.
It's done.
Day after Iowa's spring, well, I guess you can call it a spring game. Whatever they're doing on a Friday night this year at Kinnick Stadium.
That's right. They don't have that scoring system anymore.
The Greg Davis created scoring system, which sort of, those jokes wrote themselves about explosive plays in Greg Davis's offense. But Kirk, again, the other day, and I don't think he meant to do it, as Rob Howe from Hawkeye Nation said, but last Friday at the open practice at West Des Moines Valley High School, Kirk sort of, he didn't really throw Greg Davis under the bus, but he did make reference to the fact that the scoring system was kind of bizarre.
That scoring system led to the low point in my broadcasting career. I will share.
I think I know what the low point of your broadcasting career is going to be moving forward. But up until yesterday, what was it?
So this scoring system, for anyone that doesn't go to the spring game, it was offense and defense based. So it wasn't the fact that there was one team against another team, or black against gold, or whatever the case is. It's offense versus defense. So the defense can get, they can get points if they force a negative play, if they get a sack, that type of thing. So offense versus defense. I was broadcasting the spring game for KRUI, the student radio station at the University of Iowa. So the first series, this would have been the first year that they did the scoring system.
Okay.
CJ Beathard comes out under center, leads the team right down, they score, they get in the end zone, touchdown. I was like, okay, well, I thought it was black versus white, because the one team had the black jerseys on, the offense, as it turned out, had the black jerseys on, the defense had the white jerseys on. So after that first drive, they bring the ball back to the 30-yard line. They start another drive. I was like, all right, the white team is going to get their first drive underway. And then I realized that the black shirts were staying out there on offense, and I kid you not, I responded by saying, I have no idea what is going on right now. That was the low point of my broadcasting career.
Until yesterday, when he slid into the co-host's chair here in the KGYM studios, which, by the way, if you want to catch yesterday's first ever program, it's available for you, kgymradio.com, along with our Emil's Hideaway poll question, which has to do with teams off to slow starts in MLB. We owe you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update, and we'll start at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City, where the Iowa baseball team's in action today. They're playing host to Western Illinois tonight. They got underway at 6:05, Western Illinois, coached by Ryan Brownlee, who spent several years working on Jack Dom's staff in Iowa City. The last five, he's been the head coach in Macomb. They're in the second inning right now, and it is scoreless. The Hawkeyes throwing left-hander Elijah Wood tonight. He's making his first college start. Western Illinois countering with right-hander Jimmy Perkins. Speaking of baseball, the Cedar Rapids Colonels fell at Kane County last night 2-0, then turned around and handed the Cougars their first loss of the season this afternoon in a 6-1 matinee at Northwestern Medicine Field. Tyler Beardsley worked 5 innings, picking up the win. Travis Blankenhorn connecting for his 3rd home run of the year. The two teams will wrap up their series tomorrow night in Geneva, Illinois, before the Colonels return home to face Wisconsin on Thursday. Iowa announced today that it's completed its 2019 football schedule by adding Middle Tennessee State. The game is set to be played September 28th in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes' other non-conference games that year will include Miami University and Iowa State. For their efforts, the Blue Raiders will take home $1,550,000 for making the trip north to Kinnick Stadium. 21 minutes to the top of the hour. We'll step aside here and take a quick break. Back with more of the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
I actually use 1-800-Flowers. I order them for my wife. They arrive on time, and they last a long time. And they help me get through the cold and wet winter. But right now, the winter's over, and it is officially tulip season at 1-800-Flowers.com. When it comes to surprising your friends and loved ones with the best blooms, with the brightest colors, there's only one place to go. That's 1-800-Flowers.com. These gorgeous flowers have arrived just in time for Easter at a truly unbeatable price. Right now, 1-800-Flowers is giving my listeners an exclusive 30 for 30 offer. 30 assorted tulips for just $30. That's only a dollar per tulip, but it expires on Friday. So right now, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Take advantage of those 30 tulips for $30. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com, click the radio icon, and enter the code Jacoby. Once again, 1-800-Flowers.com. Enter the code Jacoby, but it expires on Friday.
If there's one thing the pros at Advance Auto know, it's parts.
Advance Auto Part and Battery, this is Scott.
Hey, Scott, my car needs an oil change. It's got like 86,000 miles on it.
We've got a special on Pennzoil high mileage.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's made specifically for vehicles with high mileage.
Oh, good.
It'll help prevent leaks.
You really know your stuff. Why were unicycles invented?
Advance Auto Parts. We know everything about auto parts. Now get 5 quarts of Pennzoil high mileage motor oil and a Purolator 1 filter for just $19.99 after $5 mail-in rebate. See store for details. Also at participating CarQuest stores.
I met someone. It's something you hear a lot from people on Match. Because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. Match is number one in first, but also in second dates too. Now I'm going to hook you up. For my listeners, go to match.com/sports for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search and connect for my listeners. This free offer is only found at match.com/sports. That's match.com/sports.
Seems like an appropriate time to remind everybody that things could always be worse here in the afternoons on KGYM. We're with you until 7 o'clock, at which time we will turn you over to various programming available for you on the upcoming schedule at KGYMradio.com. It is that magical time of year after the Masters is over where there isn't a whole lot going on. The NBA is starting to head toward the postseason. We don't have the Stanley Cup playoffs usually until the finals here on KGYM, but we've got that to look forward to as well as the NFL draft. We're going to be talking with Dane Brugler from CBSSports.com on tomorrow's program to give you just your first taste of what's to come with the NFL draft. Unfortunately, doesn't look like there's going to be a Hawkeye in the first round this year as Desmond King's stock continues to sit in that second, third, round territory, but we'll talk a little bit about the Hawkeyes and more as well. I mentioned local programming coming to a conclusion here at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll turn you over to ESPN. Tomorrow night, we've got NBA basketball for you, the Atlanta Hawks and the Indiana Pacers at 7 o'clock on all three of our frequencies. Twins baseball coming up for you. Our next broadcast will be Friday as they take on the Chicago White Sox. That's on 107.5 FM. The North Gym, your home for Twins baseball all summer long. I mentioned the Masters, and I found this story earlier today to pique my interest. But Sergio Garcia is reportedly mulling over wearing his green jacket this summer when he gets married. If you were Sergio Garcia, would you be so bold as to wear the green jacket? And is this more kindling for the fire for the people like you, Alex, who don't like Sergio Romo. Does this not scream douche move?
It does, but we had a proposition yesterday about something to do with marriage, and I guess I can't
wait for the complaints on that one, by the way.
I guess I'm not the expert. We talked about public marriages. You're against this. I
public
want to get
proposals,
your
which I saw another one. There was one marriages. Last night. ESPN, Cub fans at Wrigley Field. There he was giving her the ring, and I thought, come on, make it stop.
But doesn't him wearing a green jacket basically say, yeah, this green jacket's more important than my wedding? Right?
Not just a green. He's going to wear the actual green jacket.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, this isn't him tournament. Just sort of, hey, this is a nod to what I did this year. I would say this, and I don't know how cool his fiance is. She seemed to be a lovely woman. They showed her a ton on the broadcast on Sunday. I don't know how cool and down to earth she is with this, but the wedding day tends to be a lot about the bride.
Correct.
And I wouldn't, if I were him, again, not knowing her, I wouldn't do anything to sort of make myself the center of attention on our wedding day. And I think by him wearing the green jacket, that's sort of what he would be doing.
It just doesn't surprise that sounds like Sergio. I'll give him that. He's very consistent with who he is, and I guess I can't fault him for that.
The other thing I saw today, which I thought was interesting, and I know they've talked about this nationally, but there's a new member of the Dallas Mavericks tonight, Tony Romo.
I saw that too.
They signed him to a one-day ceremonial contract, and there are people in the Dallas Metroplex area that are saying it's odd that the Mavericks are sort of giving Tony Romo this public farewell when the Cowboys seem to be, let's say, lukewarm on the idea of fetting him as he retires and heads toward the CBS broadcast booth, that it's the NBA team in town, and maybe it's because it's in season for the Mavs, but they're doing more to honor Tony Romo than the team that he led at quarterback for so many years.
He's still under contract with the Dallas Cowboys, I believe. And he hasn't officially announced his retirement.
He doesn't want to say the word retire.
He has not used the word retirement. So if he's still under contract and he hasn't said the R word, it's very hard for the Dallas Cowboys to sign him to a one-day contract and honor his retirement if he doesn't use the word. The question that I have is, why won't the Dallas Mavericks put him in for a minute? There, he's going to be on the bench. He's going to be a Maverick for a day, I believe. Let's see him get on the court.
Is
right?
This, now, I think someone said they felt he could have played in the NBA. I think he was a decent basketball player when he was in high school. I don't know the last time that he's set foot on the court. It's probably in his contract as a starting quarterback in the NFL. One of the things he probably couldn't do was play any sort of competitive pickup basketball in the offseason. But is there this thought there that he's going to go to the booth, and if this doesn't work out, if he's bad or the right job opens up a year from now or 6 months from now, that he can go back to the Cowboys and either negotiate being released or some sort of trade, and that this broadcasting thing, he's dipping his toe in the water here, but because he doesn't want to say he's going to retire, that the door is open for him to come back as a player in the NFL.
Absolutely.
Not the NBA, though, just the NFL.
And I don't think he's being very subtle about it, because he made a point of saying that he made a point of not using the word retire. So I think that all doors are still open for him. For if it were me, I would have no problem using that word and going to the broadcast booth and working 16 days per year and making over $1 million per year. But that's just me. So I think that there is a possibility that he returns to the NFL. I don't know where I'd handicap it at, though. Is it a 50-50 possibility? Is it a I think there is a possibility, though.
Well, it would take the right team and the right situation. And maybe he goes and he's the next Terry Bradshaw and he's tremendous for CBS and he never looks back. But I've seen enough former athletes in my lifetime to know that they have a hard time walking away from the game. As a matter of fact, we'll talk about this coming up tomorrow on the show. But if you're an Iowa basketball fan, would you believe me if I told you Ricky Davis was still playing basketball somewhere? It's one of the items that we didn't get to today because the Iowa non-conference football schedule sort of blossomed out of nowhere right before we went on the air and it really took on a life of its own. We're going to give you one final break today. When we come back, another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. We'll check in on how things are going at Duane Banks Field and once again set the table for what's coming up on tomorrow's show.
Take me out to the Twins game.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
Get out the iron and the ironing board.
Huh?
April 23rd is kids' opening day at Target Field, and they're giving away Twins customizable shirts.
Really?
You just iron on your name and number.
Honey, you know I don't iron.
It's cool. I'm learning on YouTube.
Aww.
Change up your summer with the Twins on Sunday, April 23rd, when the first 5,000 kids 14 and under get a free Twins customizable shirt. For tickets, visit twinsbaseball.com.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Don't mind me, I'm just over here on Twitter needling our good friend Tommy Birch at the Des Moines Register. Home opener tonight for the Iowa Cubs at Principal Park. So the big league Cubs have their home opener last night against the Dodgers, and today the iCubs open at Principal Park against the New Orleans Baby Cakes, Class AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins. And yes, the logo is just as terrifying and nonsensical as you could expect it to be.
It's actually a baby coming out of a cake.
It's the baby, well, the baby's head with the crown on it, and he's got the bat, and he's angry looking. He looks a lot like the baby mascot that the New Orleans Pelicans used during Mardi Gras. Do you remember the mascot that was terrifying?
The one that was scaring children.
NBA fans. Yeah. It is what it is. It's minor league baseball. God bless those folks. We owe you one last Midwest One Bank Big Board update. No iCubs on the update, I promise you. But the Iowa baseball team's in action today at Duane Banks Field playing a midweek game against Western Illinois. It's a program that Hawkeyes are very familiar with. Former Iowa assistant Ryan Brownlee at the helm of the Leathernecks for the last five seasons. Hawkeyes have taken a 1-0 lead on a sacrifice fly by Mitchell Bow in the bottom of the second inning. They've gone to the top of the third. Hawkeyes again up 1-0. Notable today, lefty Elijah Wood making his first college start for the Hawkeyes. So far, he's been able to keep Western Illinois off the boards. The Cedar Rapids Colonels didn't push a run across last night at Kane County. They fell 2-0, then turned around today and managed to hand the Cougars their first loss of the season in a 6-1 matinee victory at Northwestern Medicine Field in Geneva, Illinois. Tyler Beardsley worked five innings. He picked up the win. Travis Blankenhorn leads the Midwest League in home runs. He hit his third of the year today. The two teams will wrap up their three-game series tomorrow before the Colonels return home to face Wisconsin on Thursday. Iowa announced today it has filled out its 2019 football schedule by adding Middle Tennessee State. The game set to be played September 28th in Iowa City. Iowa's other non-conference games that year include Miami of Ohio and Iowa State. The Blue Raiders set to take home $1,550,000 for making the trip to Kinnick Stadium. A couple other news and notes to pass along. Steve Fisher, the longtime head coach at the University of Michigan, most recently at San Diego State, has announced that he's going to retire. Steve Fisher, a lot of people will remember taking over for Bill Frieder when he was let go before the NCAA tournament because they needed a quote-unquote Michigan man to coach the Wolverines in the tournament. Fisher also was the head coach for the Fab Five there at Michigan. good, good college basketball coach, had success at San Diego State as well, and harkens back to that era in the Big Ten when you had Bob Knight and Gene Cady and Judd Heathcote and Clem Haskins, Lou Henson, Dr. Tom Davis. Man, you could not fall. Even Ricky Birdsong at Northwestern, you could not fall out of bed without seeing a good coach on any given night at Carver-Hawkeye Arena back in the day when a Big Ten team came to town. So sad to see Steve Fisher ride off into the sunset. And we mentioned Ricky Davis still playing basketball. I want to get to this on the program tomorrow because a minute and a half cannot do this justice, the fact that he is still playing basketball somewhere. Remember, we the fans, if you're a Chicago Bears fan tonight, that ESPN docuseries, part one of eight on the fans who have season tickets in section 250 of Soldier Field, airing tonight. Lots of other stuff. I got to go home and get to Better Call Saul on the DVR. It debuted last night, the new season of it. I was going to watch it today before I came into work, took my son to a doctor's appointment, brought him back, walked in the door. Within 90 seconds of walking in the door, the power went out today because of the accident on Wilson Avenue, which unfortunately was a female driver. I don't know if we've seen any details on this, but she came up and knocked down a power pole and basically hit the front porch of a house there on Wilson right by Balsam, which made getting to work a little interesting for me today. But Better Call Saul's on the DVR for me tonight when I get home. And what's on the agenda for you tomorrow if you join us here on KGYM? Well, Alex, we're going to be talking a little NFL draft, aren't we?
We're going to talk with Dane Brugler of CBS Sports. Chad Lysico of the Des Moines Register is going to join us at 5:30. And Ken O'Keefe and Kelton Copeland, two of the newest members of the Iowa coaching staff, will be meeting with the media in Iowa City.
Remind me again, Lysico drafted or undrafted last week?
Undrafted, but undrafted, I don't think he is aware.
Undrafted free agent, and we won't make him aware.
Yeah, let's not bring either. That up.
I don't think it would go over too well with him. Big thank you going out to Zach Johnson, our associate producer today. Also on the program tomorrow, your chance to win Cedar Rapids Colonels tickets inside the revamped 6 o'clock showdown. 7 questions in 60 seconds, ESPN programming on the way. Join us tomorrow, 3 o'clock. The Gym Class kicks off local programming.
Most Tuesdays are just Tuesdays, except at Buffalo Wild Wings, where Tuesdays are Wing Tuesdays. But now even Wing Tuesdays aren't just Wing Tuesdays, because Wing Tuesdays are half-price Wing Tuesdays, which means your boring Tuesday that became Wing Tuesday now costs you half as much. In case you're confused, we have half-price Wing Tuesdays.